Welcome to the ABR podcast, where some of our contributors discuss major issues or read their reviews and creative writing. My name is Jack Khalil, and I'm the digital editor of Australian Book Review. In today's episode, we're focusing on the novel At the Edge of the Solid World, the second book of fiction by the Australian writer Daniel Davis Wood. The novel follows the breakdown of the lives of a man and wife in the aftermath of the death of their firstborn. Nama Gray Smith, an editor, publisher, and critic based in Fremantle, Western Australia, reviews the book for ABR's January-February issue, describing it as a masterclass in wedding form to content. Here is Nama reading her review.
The truth was more complex. Every last word that follows from here is a word I've tortured out of myself. If what I've written sometimes warbles towards the inarticulate, that is the price exacted by torture and the price of articulating at all. So warns the narrator of Daniel Davis Wood's first novel, Blood and Bone. He may well be describing Davis Wood's second novel, At the Edge of the Solid World, which is above all deliberate. Davis Wood has written precisely the book he meant to write. The story concerns the aftermath of the death of a man's firstborn. In the throes of grief, insomnia, and a destructive impulse, he becomes estranged from his wife in their home in Switzerland. Meanwhile, he becomes fixated on the details of a violent crime in his homeland of Australia, identifying in turns with its victims and its perpetrator. Interlaced in this narrative are the stories of seven other men, some fictional, some historical. These are recounted by the first-person narrator and rendered through the prism of his subjectivity, so that the reader holds three or more ever-alternating narrative threads. Now the fern of the Swiss Alps, now a Sydney funeral, now a Scottish ballad. Davis Wood executes the transitions with skill, confidence, and elegance. Acutely aware of the inadequacy of writing, to quote again from Blood and Bone, he adopts an intensely immersive approach to language that I can only describe as phenomenological, which he applies through finely honed skills of observation. There are, in a sense, many books in this single work, and their merging is gainful, like an alloy whose molten components are improved through complexity. History and literature intersect in fascinating ways, with some chapters genre hopping into historical fiction. Especially successful is Davis Wood's deployment of traditional English and Scottish ballads, which function as a frame of reference for the narrator's ruminations, as well as a study into the instability of language. The problem of articulating the inarticulable is vital to Davis Wood's work. The narrator frequently asks, "Is there a word for that?" or else laments, "There's no word." He becomes obsessed with filling the lacuna between experience and expression. His tormented quest for precision is more than pedantry. In it, he seeks to quell his uncertainty. Repetition and variation thus become important techniques in the telling. He writes, "If exactitude is beyond your expressive capabilities, all you can do is say something that approaches what you mean, and then say it over and over again in a different formulation each time. You'll never pin down the meaning exactly, but pull together all your variants, and you'll see them haunted by its ideal, each one containing a piece of the sense you want to convey." As the narrator grapples with his loss, an overwhelming sense of alienation sends him spiralling down a rabbit hole of philosophical quandaries. His struggle to understand how we, as individuals and as a society, give value to human lives comes up against absurdities and paradoxes. If his grief is immeasurable, how can his employer enumerate the terms of his bereavement leave? Is it possible to respect each loss, each death, as its own unique and solemn disaster, and at the same time, to hold it equal to that of every other? When he turns to utilitarianism, citing victim figures to compare atrocities, a mathematical Wunderkind confronts him with, and I quote, "the corruption of his tallied numbers, his failure to reckon with the ripple effects of the lives destroyed, as if the reach of each of those lives was confined to the shell of a single fallen body." As anyone who has contemplated the trolley problem, popular in ethics studies, can tell you, these thought experiments leave you with an unsavoury feeling, whatever the answer. When the examples are drawn from real life, as many here are, with accounts of genocides, massacres, and mass shootings, the result is harrowing. Indeed, At the Edge of the Solid World is an unapologetically demanding work. It challenges readers in terms of both form and content, facing its graphic catalogue of violence, keeping account of its many moving parts, reckoning with its philosophical deadlocks, and at the end of a reading session, escaping its obsessive hold. Davis Wood knows what he's asking of his readers. We sense this as the narrator gives voice to the reader's reservations, yet speeds on like a hurtling runaway trolley towards the very limits of reader sympathy, and sometimes beyond them. Limits, as the title suggests, are important to this novel, of empathy, forbearance, grief, body, selfhood, knowledge, and language. It seeks to understand how impossible things become possible to some, while simultaneously exposing the limits of such an endeavour. As an increasingly solipsistic narrator probes the dark recesses of human experience, the reader is often unsympathetic towards him and other characters. The work willingly walks a tightrope and invites readers to make their own meaning. Explorations in this fraught terrain call to mind Kamala Shamsi's Home Fire. To what end does a writer embrace such bedlam? Writing in ABR's October issue on the topic of intellectual freedom, journalist Joanna Legat proposed that the kind of free thinking that is required to write interestingly, with a elan and a sense of daring, involves doubt and uncertainty, sometimes confusion. It may involve the ability to hold opposing concepts in one's mind without needing to assert a clear moral position. In a sense, such writing plays the role of a plea hearing as described by Helen Garner in her Walkley Award-winning essay Why She Broke, working to fit the dry, clean planes of reason to the jagged edges of human wildness and suffering. While Legat and Garner are concerned with journalism here, these considerations hold sway in the realm of fiction too. Held against these criteria, At the Edge of the Solid World qualifies as interesting writing many times over. While readers' emotional and intellectual reactions to this work will surely vary, Davis Wood's storytelling gifts are undeniable. At the Edge of the Solid World is a masterclass in wedding form to content. Most extraordinary is Davis Wood's ability to blur the boundaries between narratives until from their yielding, edgeless form emerges a new shape. For maximum impact, this complex novel is best seized in a few concentrated sittings.
Thanks for listening to the ABR podcast. New episodes can be found on our website, iTunes, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe to ABR? Subscriptions start from just $10 a month. In addition to receiving new issues, subscribers can access our vast digital archive going back to 1978. They can also enter our three lucrative prizes at a discounted rate. You can follow ABR on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit our website for more information. www.australianbookreview.com.au. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes.